I remember watching girls. I was in high school and looking at colleges with my dad, and we went and toured NYU. And then in the hotel room that night, he was like, "I heard so much about this new show, Girls. We should watch it." And it was the episode with Patrick Wilson where they like in the his like nice apartment the whole time, and we like turned it on, and my dad was like, "Okay, you can watch this later on your own. This is for you." And I remember going to bed being like, "I've got to go to New York. Like, I whoa, this is crazy."
Welcome to The Envelope, Kelvin Washington, alongside you-know-who, Yvonne Vitidiel, Mark Olson. Always great to have you two here and spend some time with you. We talked about it earlier. We had Emmy season. A few weeks ago, we discussed it, but now Emmy nominations are on the way. Yvonne, I'll start with you. Just maybe someone, a show, a couple of things you're looking at saying, hey, I would love to see this or that person nominated.
I want to give some shout out to the women right now. I was really frustrated when Rae Seahorn didn't get love until the final season of Better Call Saul. And I'm hoping, and I do have a lot of hope, that she will be recognized for Pluribus. I was a really big fan of the comeback this season. I would like to see Lisa Kudrow get in there. Show-wise, I would like to see Testaments in there.
What about you, Mark?
Well, you know, I'm sort of like leapfrogging over nominations, and I'm just thinking about what would be exciting on the show. And last year, I remember Stephen Colbert won for talk show kind of right after his show had been canceled, and that seemed like a very, like, just exciting moment. And so this year, I think with Jimmy Kimmel, where this is the first Emmy cycle since he'd had his, like, suspension last right. year and really has, like, been in the news, I just think, like, if he were to be nominated and then to win, that just would be such an exciting moment at the show. Like, what's he gonna say that would I just would really love to see that.
Yeah, he seems like he would have some things to say, right? Yeah. Because just kind of the nature of who he is, we'll have to wait and see. And just to for me, a couple of people, just a fan of this particular person, Janelle James is hilarious to me. She plays in Abbott Elementary. She plays that role great. And then this one is no real surprise, probably 50 plus year career, but Martin Short, every time I see him, is amazing, steals a scene. So those are kind of folks that just jump off on the radar for me. But all right, I'll get to you, Mark. You had a chance to sit down with Rachel Sennett of I Love L.A., creator and star of it. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, you know, she's been kind of a real, like, bright light on the comedy scene for the last few years in films like Shiva Baby, Bodies, 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 and then Bottoms. And, you know, she also was like a writer as well as a performer. And so with I Love LA, which is a look at sort of like the young sort of creative class in Los Angeles, she's, you know, the star of the show. She created the show. She writes on the show. She's an executive producer. She actually made her directing debut with one of the episodes. And so it's just exciting to see her sort of really like come into her voice and come into her own with this new show.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, now maybe a decade ago, Issa Rae's kind of mm-hmm. surge in LA and comedy creating. And then Riz Ahmed, who you spoke with last week, same thing, creating and starring and stuff. Seems like that's the energy getting from a lot of the young talent. Well, here is Mark and Rachel now.
For the Los Angeles Times and The Envelope, I'm Mark Olson, and I'm here with Rachel Sennett, creator, executive producer, writer, star, and for the first time, director on the show I Love LA, as well as co-creator and writer on Big Mistakes. That's a lot.
That's a, when you say it like that, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like also a friend, daughter, let's not forget, girlfriend. Yeah, those are all things that I am doing. And I'm so grateful. And having so much fun doing that.
And now, hopefully this isn't something that just I get a kick out of.
Yeah.
But we're here at the LA Times offices in El Segundo. And the Randy Newman song, I Love LA, one of the first lines in the song, rolling down the Imperial Highway. We are, in fact, on Imperial Highway.
We're here right now. We're living it.
But now, tell me about the title of the show. It's kind of relationship to the song. And what was it that you liked about having the show called I Love LA?
Yeah. Well, I think we were between two titles for a while, I Love LA and Climbers. And I think we wanted, the reason we went with I Love LA is because I feel like for me in the process of making the show. You know, I moved here from New York and I had a hard time when I was first here. And in the process of filming the pilot, I really fell in love with LA. And I think getting to make something here, I all of a sudden saw LA through this lens where everything was like a movie. I would go on my walks that I usually go on. I would walk through my neighborhood. I would go to my spots. And I just saw it through this different lens. And I was really falling in love with it in the process of making the show. And I think with Climbers, that title felt a little bit, you know, it was a double meaning, I think, of like social climbers. And then also, I think being the age that I am, where I feel like ever since I got to college, ever since I became an adult, there's been this chaotic energy in the world and uncertain ground where it never felt like, I never knew, things never felt expected. It was always unexpected events. Graduating into COVID, and then there was a strike and everything. So I feel like kind of Sisyphus, where you're always pushing the rock up the hill and it's never enough. But we were worried that Climbers would maybe seem too negative of a title. Mm-hmm. And the characters are already a little, I love them and I want the audiences to love them, but it takes a little. So we didn't want to set people up already judging the characters. Mm. So that's kind of, those are two parts of reasoning why we went with the title.
And then what has it been like for you learning to be a showrunner, a manager on the, you know, in making I Love LA? It's funny, your co-showrunner, Emma Berry, she mentioned how you were very organized, but she was always so struck. You had everything in like a pink binder with like horses on it. So it was like trying to learn this new thing while also holding on to your sort of essence.
Yeah, I think I feel so grateful for everyone who works on the show with me. I learned a lot from Emma. I learned a lot from Loreen, who inspired me so much as a director. Aida, our producer, Amy and Ali at HBO. Max, who's one of our EPs and writers. Like, I think this show running is a million different jobs. And some of the jobs I'd done before, some of them I hadn't. And I felt like I got to see different people shine in certain things. People who are more talented or more skilled at structure than me, people who have directed before, people who understand shots, and basically learn from everyone and see that everyone's wants the show to be the best it can be. They're bringing stuff to the table. And so I benefited from everyone else's skills and talents and just being like, if you know how to do this better than me, I'm going to learn from you and watch you and hopefully take from that so I can do my job better.
Because in a lot of the press, as you've been talking about the show, you've been talking a lot about the concept of the Saturn return.
Yeah.
And this sort of chaotic period that people have in their late 20s.
Yeah.
You yourself now are 30.
Yes, I made it. I literally just finished. I was relieved. But my Saturn return was, the process was the getting the show picked up and the first season of the show. That was my Saturn return.
But then can you already feel that like something has settled or like things are different somehow?
Yes, 1,000%. I think the shift for me, I mean, my Saturn return, the dates that it was the strongest were the month around when the show got picked up. And it was this, making the pilot was so amazing and I learned so much. And then I was in this moment where I had to pick, basically I couldn't take on acting jobs because I was going to hopefully do the show, but I didn't know if I was going to do if the show was picked up yet or not. And so I had to say no to certain things and kind of take this leap. At the same time, I went through a breakup and then I got arrested for having CBD in the Cayman Islands. And it was just like a very chaotic month of my life where I was like in jail for 6 hours on a break with my boyfriend. So he like had no ex-boyfriend, had no idea where I was. And I was like, I don't even know if I had a show. I just said no to this other thing. Like, I just felt like I didn't know what was happening. And then, and I'm someone who, it's hard for me to take risks sometimes. And that was a big risk and leap into what I thought I should be doing. And then I think the rest of it was learning for the first season how to do a job I'd never done before. Obviously, I still have more to learn, but I think that was the big, that was the big Saturn return for me, like the roller coaster of it.
It's so interesting to hear you say that you think of yourself as like a person who's like afraid of risk, because that's not my impression. I know
you're like stop taking risks, just chill on the risks. It's like every second it's no. I think it's more I didn't necessarily believe in myself as a creator on my own. Mm-hmm. And that was really scary for me. And that was the risk, I think.
Because especially in building up to making I Love LA.
Yeah.
In your career, I feel like you've created this kind of comedic persona for yourself.
Yeah.
Like what is the biggest distinction between like the Rachel I think I know and like the actual you?
The Rachel, like you mean the characters that I play, yeah, or like the persona?
These sort of like hard charging, like very ambitious, but like sort of, you know, maybe not always understanding of themselves characters and you. Like I'm just interested how you see the distinction between that persona and like the actual you.
I think that I hope that the characters that I've played have been somewhat different from each other, you know? Like, I think Shiva Baby, that character, I think was a little bit more anxiety inward, whatever. Alice in Bodies was way more outward and kind of like spoke, had no filter, said mm-hmm. every inside thought. Maya on I Love LA, I think is kind of bitter in the beginning of the first season and is pinning her failures and kind of blaming them on her friend. Mm-hmm. I think hopefully all of those characters, like I always draw on some element of myself. I think all actors, you have to find some connection to the character, but I think I'm hopefully more grounded and balanced and mature, I hope, than the character. I hope.
Because you've talked about how, you know, I Love LA really explores like the kind of the foibles and challenges that people have of leading these very like online lives and the way that people nowadays are really like sort of tethered to their phone all the time. And is that something that you feel like you grapple with yourself? Is it something you yourself have had to kind of get over?
I think, well, so I would say I started my career on the internet and I grew up on the internet, and there was basically, I created a different sort of persona on the internet, like that was based in truth at the time when I was in my early 20s in New York, and it was a lot more messy and a little chaotic, and I was just going through things in my life at that time where that's what the, like I say writing, but like the tweets, the jokes, the videos, whatever that were coming out of me at that time. And then I felt I changed, but I still wanted to kind of project that character. Yeah. And so I actually ended up putting that character into Tallulah. And I think Maya was a little bit more the version of myself when I first moved to LA, and I felt isolated, and it was during COVID, and I was kind of gripping onto my friends in a codependent mm-hmm. way. And so I think like the show is sort of dealing with, I think whether or not you're an influencer or person online, whatever, anyone who's grown up on the internet is projecting some sort of version of themselves. Mm. So I think it was that I was kind of trying to explore.
Because tell me a little bit, like you mentioned that the character of Tallulah is like this version of you that you kind of you used to be like her.
Yeah.
And I'm just so curious, like, what was it like for you creating this character that was sort of like almost like your id kind of unleashed?
I think it was interesting because it felt like it almost because I was like separating myself from her at first, maybe could have felt like a caricature. And then when we cast Odessa, who is so talented and just as an actor, she has such depth and range. And I think she asked questions as an actor and brought so much to it that then it actually made me like sever myself from the character, and the character became its own thing mm-hmm. that she like brought to life.
Because your character, Maya, in some ways is like the audience surrogate. Like, you know, she's kind of the most normal character on the show, maybe. And considering that in something like, say, like Bottoms or Bodies, 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 you often were like the outrageous character.
Yeah.
What has it been like for you to play this character that's a little more sort of self-contained?
I think it's been fun. I think we sort of found her during the first season. I feel that episodes 6 through 8 are really where the show it finds its footing.
Mm-hmm.
And where we find what's the comedy of Maya. And I think like it takes a little for her to kind of crack open into her, like what's funny about her as a character, but also I think Tallulah is almost like a agent of change for her mm-hmm. where she, like Maya was set in her ways and sort of struggling and depressed. And I think Tallulah like puts her on track to, and she's going through her Saturn return and all that stuff. And so I think we get to see at the end of the season, and just having been writing season 2, I think we get to see her do a lot more fun mm-hmm. stuff.
I know it's funny. I feel like as viewers, a lot of times people say, oh, you know, there's this show, you should watch it. It really gets going on like episode 3 or 5 yeah. or whatever. And it's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard a creator say before, like, oh, you know, 6, 7, and 8, we like figured it out. Like, do you feel like you knew that in the moment, or has that only sort of like come to you maybe even as you've been working on season 2?
I think as we were editing the first season, I think tone is something that you can say, like, we want it to be like this meets this, and it's and the tone started that. But tone is something that you find in the edit. Mm-hmm. I think you shoot different versions of a line, of a scene, and then you piece it together. And I think for me, that's when I felt like this is the tone of the show. This mm-hmm. is the world of the show. And in writing season 2 as well, just living more in that mm-hmm. world.
Because you kind of touched on this, but the characters on the show, they like kind of skirt this line between being endearing and annoying.
Yeah.
And what is it that you like about that?
Because I think that's how people are. And I think I am not interested in seeing perfect people or people who are flawed in a way that's not actually real.
Mm-hmm.
So I love all the characters. Like, I think like, and like Alani, for example, is someone where I think you could really easily be like, oh, a Nepo baby, she's so privileged, whatever. I think she's the character with the biggest heart. She's the best friend out of the whole group. Like, she cares for everyone. She's so deeply sensitive, and she's actually been through a lot of shit, and she drops these little things, these clues where you're like, she went through something crazy. We don't know. But is choosing to looks at life like half full.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's fun. Like, I enjoy, I don't know, I like the characters who make you feel or expect something of them and then show you another side. Like, Charlie, I think, does that as well, where you meet him and you think he's, you know, he's a little acerbic, he's a little judgmental, and then he goes through loss and grief. Like, he, when Lucas, spoilers, Lucas Landry dies, R.I.P. Lucas, that's really hard for him, you know? And I was so impressed by, I've been friends with Jordan for so long and I love him so much. I think he's so talented, but I think he showed a totally new side of himself with the character.
I agree. I think I found those scenes were very touching. Like, there's an emotion there that's like, it's unexpected in those moments.
Yeah.
And then one moment that I really like in the show is Odessa's character. She wants to like change a dinner reservation to five people at 8 o'clock. And then you have to, which sounds simple enough, but then you have to like spend hours like trying to make that happen. And I really appreciated how it's like something that sounds like it should be simple. And for some people, it's like no big deal, would be really simple. But then for other people, it's like the biggest hurdle imaginable. Like, did you like that the show, it explores like this sort of like proximity to ease, or like, you know, sometimes you end up at this party in a big house, but it's not your house. And like, was that something you wanted to explore about life in LA? Yeah,
totally. I think there's also something, it's specific to LA and specific to the industry we're exploring, which is the internet as opposed to Hollywood. But I would say that it is relatable to me, to anyone in their late 20s, early 30s, because I think when you're in your early 20s, everyone's sort of grouped together or feels like they're in the same bucket. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, we're all doing this same thing, whatever. We're all roommates. We're all in school together. We're all whatever. But people make decisions that you don't even see. Like, someone is deciding, I feel like the first time I found out that one of my friends had like a SEP IRA, I was like, when did we all decide that we're getting SEP IRAs? Nobody told me about whatever. Like, and it was a friend who loves to like party and whatever. And I was like thrown in. I was like, well, now I'm panicking. I didn't do that. Whatever. Who's getting in a serious relationship, whatever. People start making decisions in their late 20s. All of a sudden, everyone's off on different paths. It's like, wait, you're getting married, but you're still partying the way that we did when we were in college. This person is moving. This person is changing their career paths, whatever. And so you all of a sudden feel a little bit betrayed or on your own, and it's isolating. And that is something that, yes, we're doing it through a specific lens of LA and this world and these characters, but I think it's really relatable to people at that age. Mm. Yeah.
Because I've heard you describe yourself as a zillennial cusp.
Yeah, I'm cusp.
And
I feel like I relate to a little bit of both.
But now, do you feel a pressure to like, for the show to feel like some sort of a generational statement, to like capture these kind of big picture things?
No, because I think it's like, I think people can say, like, every day I see people being like, Io and I are texting each other this article, because it's like everyone, there's like always an article that's like, turns out these bitches are 30. Yeah, they've been lying the whole time. They said they're Gen Z. I'm like, I didn't say anything. Like, I was born in 95. I'm 30. Call what you want, whatever. But I think to me, I was just writing to what I feel at the time. Like, I think it's about, I think people who grew up on the internet in the way that I did will relate to it, but I think you can relate to it if you're older or you're younger.
Because as people in writing about the show, they very frequently are referencing Girls, Insecure, Sex and the City, but I've heard you reference Entourage quite a bit. Could you like explain that a little bit?
Yes. So Girls and Sex and the City and Insecure, like all of those shows, all HBO shows, are like formative to me as an artist, I think as a woman. Like, you watch those shows and you're like, I remember watching girls. I was in high school and looking at colleges with my dad, and we went and toured NYU. And then in the hotel room that night, he was like, we should, I heard so much about this new show, Girls, we should watch it. And it was the episode with Patrick Wilson where they like fuck in the his like nice apartment the whole time. And we like turned it on, and my dad was like, okay, you can watch this later on your own. This is for you. But, and I remember going to bed being like, I've got to go to New York. Like, whoa, this is crazy. And so those shows, of course, inspired me as an like, just, I think naturally those were already going to inspire me. Entourage, I think, and Atlanta, those were two references that I mentioned a lot when we were making the show. Because Entourage, because I feel I got to come up in this industry with my friends. And when I'm with my friends, I feel completely invincible. And so that there was that aspect. It was like, I want to see Entourage, but from a different point of view and perspective and a different, slightly different industry. Mm-hmm. And then Atlanta, there is the relationship of like already having a family relationship and friendship, and on top of that managing, like how he manages Paperboy. And then I think Atlanta did such a great job of capturing a city that has almost like magical realism elements to it. And LA, a lot of the times, like, there's things that happen here that are crazy, that feel almost unreal, but they are real. So that was a big inspiration for the show as well. Like, the opening of the show, sex during an earthquake, that's happened to me, but it also feels like a little ridiculous, but it happens in LA.
And then you mentioned earlier that, like, in waiting for the show to come around, you felt like you were having to, like, turn things down, or, like, you were really having to sort of, like, change your mindset in a way. Can you talk a little more about that? Like, I'm curious, like, in the show Big Mistakes that you created with Dan Levy, that the is that one of the things that, like, you had to sort of, like, step away from, or, like, readjust how you were going to be involved in, because of the fact that you were going to have, like...
I was more talking about acting roles. I think there's a different, like, when you are, like, when you step into a creator role, it's a different mindset than acting jobs, and you have to commit to a longer time period. When you're just acting in things, you can pop in, pop out, and you leave set and you're like, I love you guys so much. I'll see you in a year at the premiere, whatever, which is fabulous too. Love doing that. But when you are creating something, you're in it from beginning to end, and you really want to give your all to it. So I think I was more talking about just like betting on myself as a creator, as opposed to just acting.
And how has that felt now that you're sort of on the other side of it, like with one season of I Love LA made? Like, how do you feel about having made that decision, having bet on yourself like that?
I think it's changed me, like, in a way where I'm so happy I did it. And it's sometimes harder and there's more parts to it, but I feel the most, I feel more in myself creatively than I ever have before, I think.
It changed you how?
Just because it's, you all of a sudden see all the different parts of the process of making something, and all these different jobs that maybe I wasn't as aware of before. And I think there's also something beautiful about popping into something and acting and just being like, I am present as my character. This is what I am thinking about. I'm thinking about what does the character want. And that's amazing too. But I feel so lucky to have been able to experience other parts of making something.
And what was it like learning how to sort of like switch hats? Like, especially like during production, I would imagine like you have a producer brain, you have an actor brain, then you, and one episode you have a director brain. Like, what was it like having to sort of like switch roles at the moment like that?
I think I had to like sort of take it day by day. Like, there are days where it's like a lighter scene for me. And I can be on the side approving locations, taking meetings during lunch. There was a day where I had two sex scenes. It was the day we shot the episode 6 and 7. So we shot the end of 7, the fight scene with me and Josh, and the sex scene where it's Maya and Dylan, but she's fantasizing about Ben. It was a lot. It was like a lot in one day. And so I was like, to Emma and Max and Aida, I was like, let's not do any other meetings today in the middle of the day. And they were like, totally got you. And so I think that day I was more focused on, I was like, I really need to be present in the scene and have this be my main focus. And then on a day where I'm shooting, like you're texting on your phone and you're walking on your walking treadmill, I can do other stuff. So I think it was just like taking each day as it comes and having so much support from the rest of the team.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's wild to think that like just one day providing like all this material for the show, and now here you are however much longer later, that like that just a single day could be so pivotal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So you shoot a lot can happen on a day, and then other days you're like, I'm just opening doors. Like, you never know.
And then how did you come to conceive of just how you kind of wanted to depict like the online world? Like, you know, whether how people text, like whether that, you know, when they're FaceTiming and things like that. I mean, it's interesting that like the show obviously exists with that world as part of it, but it also, it's not as if you didn't spend a whole lot of time like animating texts or things like that. How did you come to sort of conceive of how to just like depict people's online life?
I think I wanted it to feel how it does in the real world, which is the internet is just a big part of everyone's life, but people aren't explaining it to each other all the time. And so we wanted to have the internet feel like the real internet, but our own internet not... We didn't want to ever reference anything that would date us because the internet moves so fast. So like Coke Larry, for example, when Dylan gets made into a meme, whatever, that's like our own thing, but it moves the same way as the internet does. And we tried not to have too much phone screens, texting, whatever. Like, for example, you don't really ever see... You see snippets of Tallulah making videos or posting or whatever. But at the same time, in Entourage, you don't really see that much of Vince acting. Hmm. You see him... You see all the stuff around it. So that was sort of our model for the show.
And now you directed the final episode of the season. Do you expect to be directing more in season 2?
Yeah.
And how did you find the experience? What did you like about it?
I loved it. I felt like it was just the most I've ever... You're just in every aspect of the process. You are thinking about everything, and it was so engaging and exciting. And afterwards, I felt... fried, and I like crawled onto the edit couch, and I was like limp, and I was like, it took a lot out of me, but it felt like people describe it like giving birth, and then you're like, oh, I gotta do it again. So that's kind of how I felt on the other end.
And then can you talk a little just about that final episode?
Yeah.
The show is called I Love LA. You send the main characters to New York for the final episode, which has turned into kind of a controversial decision. A lot of people have talked about that. Can you talk just a little bit about deciding to sort of like end the show, the season in New York?
I think it was because it was sort of addressing almost the fact that these girls went to school in New York together. They lived in New York and they chose to move to LA. And I think when you do that, there's always going to be the push and pull of the two cities. And going back to New York, it was almost like getting a chance to get back together with your ex and being like, you know what? There's a reason it didn't work out, or there's a reason. And they, I mean, they end the episode with, I miss LA. So I think that's kind of what we were aiming to do.
And then before we wrap up, I should be sure to ask, like, is there anything that you could tell us about season two? What can people look forward to?
I think that the stuff, it's sort of what we were talking about earlier. Episodes 6 through 8, like, I think I just feel we have a more, we've locked into our tone, we get to see other sides of characters we haven't before, we like go deeper on certain characters, and I think there's some fun stuff that we set up in the finale that we get to explore.
Season. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, Rachel Sennett, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for watching this episode. Be sure to join us after the Emmy nominations, as we'll have more of The Envelope for you. See you then.